We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end...
What will I become?
Senua Saga. Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
I'm Maria Menounos, and you're tuned in to AfterBuzz TV, the ESPN of TV talk. Now, let the buzz begin.
Hello, everybody. Welcome back. It's the time of the week again. Seventh episode of Death, and I just don't have with me Ashley Dior Jones today. Hello.
Hello. Best episode yet. So excited.
Yeah. By far. And also, we're going to also have Tyler joining in a couple of minutes, hopefully. But we also have the man of the man, of every show, the producer himself, and is also joining us today for giving his opinion because he's also watching the show. He knows it in and out. Our man, Ryan Nilsson, in the house.
Thank you. Thank you. Thank you so much. Yes, Ryan in the booth is in the panel today. I love this show so much. I've been slowly keeping up each week, slowly catching up, and I just happened to like figure it out this week where I could watch it beforehand. And right. Oh my god, guys, just a quick thing. This is probably my favorite show on TV. It's so underrated. I absolutely love it. Everyone is sleeping on Devs, and I'm so happy to be talking about this episode.
Exactly. That's so interesting that you say that. Why is this show so underrated? We're definitely going to talk about that in a second. But what I also wanted to talk about, obviously, is that we just found out in the very beginning that Katie and Forrest definitely know the future for a fact, right? We know that now as a fact. We're going to talk all about it. We see Katie turning kind of into like a serial killer almost, right? She's just doing it. She just lets people die. Lyndon is just jumping off the cliff and there she is. Gone. But we also going to talk about our favorite guy, obviously, right? The homeless guy, Pete, is back in the building and he saves the whole show, obviously, because without him, Lily would be gone, right? Hey, let's start from the very beginning, guys. We have a lot to talk about, right? But let's start from the very, very beginning because I wanted to get your opinion on the first couple of seconds because I was totally lost. I was like, what is going on here? Where are these sounds coming from?
Oh, yeah.
Why are we communicating with something like that? Ashley, what did you think about that?
I didn't know what was going on. I was like, are they introducing new characters this far in the season? I was like shocked. Like, who is this woman? Like, why is she here? What's happening? But I'm glad they tied it in at the end.
Exactly. And Ryan, what about you? Expert.
So I was expert. I don't know. I think we're all just on the same ride here with this show. They were saying an interesting phrase, something about like if I had a bruise, would I have to squeeze it to get some blood out? Like they just kept replaying that over and over again. I don't know what that means. It was almost like proving that you have something. I think those are flashbacks to cavemen in the past. And yeah, the first scene we go to is with. At Devs, them checking out the past, like they cracked the code.
That's right.
So I think that was them kind of, it was an artistic way of them showing history, but I don't know what, I'm a little confused on what those phrases meant or symbolized.
Mm-hmm. Same thing. I felt like it was kind of a phrase for the overall show, probably the kind of meaning of the overall show. That's what I felt. But anyway, but the thing at the beginning is when I heard the sounds and I saw the case and the people from back in the days, I was like, okay, we know about that. They definitely can look into the past. So I had a feeling it might be that. But I really find it a very interesting style to open up the episode because it was completely out of the blue, completely unexpected, especially leaving from last episode, getting into this kind of scenario. So that was really cool. And then coming from that, we go right into also the scene with Forrest and Katie, right? And we see that Katie even watches Forrest's past. So she knows everything, basically, even about Forrest's past, right? Which is not really a surprise because I always believe now that Katie knows a lot more than anyone else. Even more than Forrest. She's telling, she knows more than anyone. She's not even telling Forrest the whole truth, what she knows. I mean, Ashley, how do you feel about the dynamics right now between Katie and Forrest watching them right now? How did you feel about that?
Well, I was curious as to why she was watching his, like the multiverse of his family. Like he wasn't even there. Like usually it's just Forrest like watching and going back to this, but she was doing it solo. So I was like, is she so intertwined in his world that like, you know, like, I don't know. I didn't really know how to take it, because I was like, why is she looking at his multiverse or past when she could be like looking at her own? I was confused by why she was digging into that.
I totally agree. I mean, Ryan, what did you think? Why did she do that? Why was she checking out Forrest's past so much and knows all about it?
And we were talking about we're with Katie, right?
Yeah, we're talking about Katie when she's basically in the bedroom, and out of a sudden she looks to the bed.
We took it all. We brought them to our land. An endless night. Ember hot and icy cold. The rage of the earth. We made this curse. Carved it in the blood on our backs. We did not see. We could not, but she did. And in the end,
what will I become?
Senua Saga, Hellblade 2.
Play it now with Game Pass.
All right.
You see, basically, the wife of Forrest, or the girlfriend, or yeah, whatever, from back in the days with the kids playing and reading books and stuff like that. Why does she know all that?
I think it's a, well, they're, you know, an item right now. And mm-hmm. I think she's just having that understanding of what Forrest's drive is. You know, I think in the episode last week, Lily asked her, like, why are you dating someone? Why are you with Forrest? And she said, you know, he's a little vulnerable. He's weak. And I like him, and I can help him. So I think she's just trying to get a better understanding of after what he's after, and maybe to even feel what he is feeling. I get this sense that she lacks, even though what he's feeling is terrible, it's despair, it's so sad. Like,
yeah.
She, I think, longs to have been connected to someone as closely as he was to his daughter and his wife. And
right.
I think she almost is like yearning to have a similar feeling, even though it's so sad.
Mm-hmm. I mean, that's deep. I appreciate that you say that. I mean, I'm not really sure about Katie yet, about her character and who she really is. Sometimes I feel like, well, she's so power driven in a way. She comes across like a woman who wants to have a lot of power. She wants to know about the past and the future, obviously. She really likes to be in that position. And then I'm also thinking, is she just using like Forrest to her advantage to be in that position? Or is she really feeling something for him as a like a relationship or like a couple, right? I'm not really sure about that. So just to get your opinion on that, do you really think that she has feelings for Forrest, Ashley?
I think she definitely does. I think she's super attracted to intellect. And Forrest is definitely a smart guy. I mean, look at what he created. So I think she's definitely into him. And when you're in relationships, you want to be with someone who gets you. And I feel like she thinks that Forrest kind of gets her. So, like, it makes sense.
Ryan, what about you?
I think that she definitely is in love with Forrest for the reasons we were just kind of explaining. I think that they each represent a unique aspect of devs and what they're using with this technology. Like, she, from what I gather, has looked at all the future she possibly can, whereas Forrest has looked at little to none of it. But I think she has looked at some, because even when she's leaving the house, Forrest is like, oh yeah, you remember Lyndon's in your car, or you had the whole Lyndon thing. Like, he casually throws it out there, like, by the way, remember, like, Lyndon's gonna be in your car. And she's like, oh, yeah. Like, they know how it all plays out. And so that's what's kind of interesting. There's, like, this little overlap, I think, when it comes to each other. But for the most part, Forrest stays away from the future, and she's all in on it.
Yeah, for sure. And I totally appreciate what you just said, because I'm still not sure if Forrest really understands how it all works and if he's really completely fully aware of what devs can really do. Because then we're going to talk about that in the next couple of minutes. But what I just also wanted to point out, coming back to Forrest's past, which I found very interesting, and it's basically now we have the fact that Forrest wanted to talk to his wife on the phone, right, while she was driving. And she even told him on the phone while she was driving, hey, I don't like doing that while I'm driving. I don't want to be on the phone call, which really shows that he was really kind of the reason why this accident kind of happened, right? I mean, there could be a lot of reasons, but I think she couldn't really focus on the street. That's how I feel about it. And then out of a sudden, a car comes and crashes, and boom, and she's dying, the kid is dying, and now he feels guilty, obviously, because he wanted to have that phone call. I mean, Ashley, right, that's exactly how I felt about it. Did you feel the same way, or what was your opinion about that?
I mean, it makes perfect sense. I honestly didn't initially think of it that way, but now when you're saying that, I mean, why else would he be feeling like, I mean, I'm sure he would feel awful, but like it seems to have really just eaten him alive, kind of the sadness of what happened. So if he felt that he had something to do with it, I think that's just, that's what probably pushed him over the edge. But yeah, I never thought of it that way. Maybe he feels responsible.
Yeah, that's just, I feel the same way. Ryan, what did you feel about it when you watched the scene where he basically told his wife, hey, I want to talk to you right now. We can do it right now while you're driving.
Yeah, I definitely think he feels guilty for, he takes some of the responsibility for what happened to them. But I also think it falls into what they were saying last week. There was that really interesting conversation about how every action has a reaction. Nothing is random on a scientific level of speaking. In that, just you can trace back everything to like an action and reaction. Mm-hmm. So one of the actions he did was choose to remain on the phone, which distracted her, and the reaction was the car got hit. So
that's right.
It's sad, and I think that's the big issue. And it just raises a lot of questions. Where like, all right, what does he think he can actually do to change it?
That's right. Yeah. I mean, I still believe that's a very good question, Ryan, by the way. I still believe that he thinks at some point he can just bring his wife and his kid back to life. I think that's the main idea why he did all that. That's still what I'm thinking, right? But now what I also wanted to talk about, which is very interesting, we have a scene or scenario which is further down the line, but we also have a scene before where everyone is basically in the same room, like at Dev's, right? Except Katie and Forrest, and out of a sudden they see it. They predict the future even with the picture. You can see everything. It's just delayed by a millisecond. So as soon as they said something, it was already shown on screen a millisecond before, which is terrifying in a way, right? If you really think about that. I mean, put yourself in the same position. You are in front of a screen, and the screen is already showing you what you're going to do in the next moment.
I can't. I don't want to do that.
That's, I mean, Ryan, I mean, that was a crazy moment.
This was the craziest. I was probably the most unique scene this entire episode for me because, on the one hand, you think, okay, so it was like, I think 2 seconds ahead from what I could gather, or maybe it was a second ahead, and you would hear them say, what the heck? And then they would say, what the heck? And so as a viewer, I was thinking, well, if they see what they're about to say, can't they just consciously not do that? And I think what learned this whole episode, this was kind of like the whole episode, the lesson is no, at least from what we can gather. And I think that even goes to the point of last week, Katie was telling Lily, like, you're going to end up at Dev's. And then she's like, I'm going to mess up their whole plan. And then we see at Dev's, no, that is their immediate reaction. And I don't know. I think the dialogue was I'm not going to say convenient, but it was unique in that if I saw myself saying like a surprise phrase, I might just instinctually say that same phrase. So this was the most like mind F moment I feel for the whole episode because.
Oh, for sure. I didn't want to interrupt, but it was beautifully shot even. I felt like that was so great to see the actor standing in front of the screen. Then you have him in the background on the screen and doing just the same thing just a millisecond or a second before he actually does it. And you're right, Ryan. I mean, I'm just thinking, are you just so surprised by this that you just like subconsciously just do what you always would do in the next second? So that's why you can't really control the situation and you just do what's going to happen in the future anyway. So that's really something I'm still figuring out, because what I wanted to mention is taking that situation, and I want to talk to you about that. When we come to the situation that Katie gets into the car, she already knows, by the way, obviously, that Lyndon is in the bag of the car, because Forrest and Katie know the future, right? As we just found out, they know everything. So Lyndon is in the car, they know both, they know it. And then they're driving up to this one place that Lyndon is basically even suggesting. They say, hey, we're going to meet there, let's go outside and just talk a little bit. And I just wanted to ask you, Ashley, and also Ryan after it. It feels like Katie knows everything that's going to happen, every step on the way. She knows every millisecond what people are going to say, how they react, obviously. So I'm just thinking, if Katie wouldn't have seen the future, wouldn't she have said what she said right next to Lyndon, which makes Lyndon like basically going over the rail and just jumping, or not even jumping, but basically losing the balance? Would she have done that if she wouldn't have known what she would have said in the future. You know what I'm talking about?
That's what bothers me so much is that she knew what was going to happen and she did nothing to stop it. And it's not like she couldn't stop it. You know, I just feel like she had all the power in the world to change that outcome. But she just, I just felt like she was like, oh, well, this is just how it's going to be. So this is how it's going to be. And I'm not, I mean, I can see the future and like mess with it, but I'm not going to do anything to, you know? Yeah. And I was just like, what kind of person are you? Like, you knew that this was going to happen. You put this little boy in this predicament. You knew he was going to die. And I just felt like, why didn't she help him? Like, why was the humanity not in her to stop this from happening? That's why I was so upset with her in this episode. I was like, you could have stopped it and you didn't.
That's interesting because I'm coming to you in a second, but I just wanted to answer it. I just feel like that Katie is so excited to even find out if it's working. Is it working, what I saw? Is it going to happen? So I just let it happen because I just want to know if it works. I don't care about her life. I just want to know if everything works that I figured out myself and I saw. I think that's basically the main thing. But Ryan, coming back to you, I want to ask you one more time from a different perspective because I'm thinking if you watch your own future and you kind of know already what you're going to say to certain people, doesn't that influence you in the first place?
Right.
So that you obviously say that thing because you saw it already.
Bringing
me back to the question, hey,
that's,
if you wouldn't have seen that, would you still have said that?
Would it have changed? Yeah. Would my free will have changed what I saw to happen? It's such a hard thing. That's what's making the show simultaneously brilliant and immensely confusing because it's hard to wrap your mind around. What I was so impressed by was I could wrap my head around it. I did understand it because you're on paper, you're assuming that she would try to save him. However, the thing is, you have to take into like what her personal motives are, and she the conversation probably was always supposed to be like that because she was always supposed to look into the future, and since she was always supposed to look into the future and see what was going to happen, that triggers this conversation. It's all action reaction. So for her to not have done that, she was always going to do that because she looked into the future. So, and the reason she still ended up doing that, this is going to sound wild, the reason she ended up doing that was because Lyndon, the way she phrased it so interestingly was, there's different timelines or different multiverses where, hey, you balance on there and you don't fall, and then there's somewhere you do fall. What was a little sadistic was she absolutely knew he was going to fall, and then the way they showed it and the filmmaking is that he fell like every time.
Right.
I don't think there were scenarios where he didn't fall. So that's what is the biggest kind of reveal for me was – there was no chance whatsoever that he was going to stay balanced. He always fell. So
that's right.
I hear that.
That for me was the thing where it wasn't like, what's going to happen? We'll see. It was, he always was going to fall. In every timeline, he would fall. And then that was just her way of getting rid of Lyndon in a manner of speaking.
That's right.
It's just who she is. Like, it's just who Katie is as a person that wouldn't allow. Like, she was never going to save him. Like, that thought never even came into her mind because that's just not who she is.
I think it works on multiple levels, and this is the most complicated thing ever. But the way the show presented it before we saw the outcome of if he would fall or not is that it could go one of two ways. One way, he stays balanced, he's brought back into Devs. The other way, he falls and dies. When in all actuality, she knew the whole time there was only one outcome. So,
that's right.
And then her internal motive was to just get rid of him to begin with. So she used the idea of science to convince him to do it. It's so interesting.
That kills me.
Yeah, it's wild.
It is kind of interesting because I think she knew from the beginning that what she's going to tell Lyndon is going to convince Lyndon anyway, because Lyndon is a scientist too in a way. So she he kind of likes that stuff, right?
Yeah.
But it's I mean, we can talk about it forever. Guys at home, if you're watching us right now, please let us know what you think, right? Was Katie kind of influenced by her own future that she said that, or would she have said that anyway? And it's, you know, it's kind of, even that question is already crazy to answer. Anyway, so I just put it out there, right? If you have an idea, let us know. But I want to move on to also like a situation that we've never seen before. And that was really great to see that Stuart out of a sudden just got out of it. He was not really following anymore. The scene where Forrest comes back to the Devs department, Stuart is standing outside, and, you know, is talking about, he's even saying a poem, like, and he's very philosophical in a way, but he just said something. The bottom line is, we just ignored you, Forrest, because we know it was working and we just wanted to make it work. So we just followed Lyndon's like work that she or he already done, and we just wanted to finish it because we know it's working, and you basically sabotaged us almost. So Ashley, what did you think about this moment? So did Forrest really try doing that?
Well, I thought the monologue that Stuart gave was really interesting, and I was like, what is this about? So I Googled it, and it's actually from a poet, Philip Larkin. And basically the poem is about like death and how you can't escape death. You know, that's what the whole thing was about. And I thought it was interesting that Stuart was like, look, you guys have all this power over the future, but you don't even know your past. Like, you don't even know like who this is, how dare you? I felt like Stuart was really just upset about a lot of things. But I mean, I have so many feelings and so many emotions. Like, I can't even describe all of them, but it's just wild.
I wanted to throw this out there. I just thought of this like right now. Back to that whole thing with Forrest and Katie. Katie's seen the future, and Forrest tends not to, but I think he has looked a few times. He did, for sure. So if you trace back when Lyndon got fired, Forrest fires Lyndon because I think he was trying to prevent what maybe ultimately happened, but what he didn't know was that he was ultimately probably causing it. Because say, for example, if Lyndon stayed, which he never was going to ever, that would have ultimately happened. But that was never even a scenario. So I think, like, you're right. That poem is almost a metaphor for the whole episode, because it's like humans we're terrified of walking towards our guaranteed death. And so that poem is basically about Lyndon and about maybe the rest of the characters.
But it's interesting what you say, Ryan. So do you think that Forrest was almost working against himself? Because at the end of the day, Lyndon already figured it out a couple episodes before, how you should do it to really see a full, like, really 100% picture of the future or even past, so that you can really trace it and really track it. And now, as we see, Stuart and everyone, they just ignored him and just made it work out of a sudden. Now it works. So
yeah,
if that's the case, why would Forrest do that? Is he just scared or something? I mean, what is it?
I think, so what I was kind of alluding to with the whole Forrest-Lyndon thing is, there might be there's different outcomes in different realities, right? It's a complicated idea. But from what we saw, every single outcome for Lyndon was falling off that bridge.
Right.
Every single one. Unlike the car accident with Forrest's daughter, where they showed it. There were multiple times where like it nicked the front of the car, it just missed the car, they braked early. Whereas with Lyndon, he was always going to fall off that bridge or that dam. So I think he does. That was him trying to maybe prevent the inevitable, but it was always going to happen. So does that answer your question?
I mean, no. I appreciate that, but thank you so much. But also, Ashley, I mean, what do you think? Because I'm always thinking, if I'm a dad, if I would be a husband and a dad, and now all of a sudden my family is gone, and because I feel like, oh my god, because I had a phone call with her while she was driving, and as we saw before, we saw the mouse coming to life again, which was kind of an indication, hey, that can probably make people become alive again or become someone again, right? So if that's the situation and they would be able to do that as we thought, why would he fight that? Why would he fight the Devs department getting to the stage where they are now if that would be the solution for his problem?
I think he knew that it would end bad. And I think it's interesting how, like, moving into the next kind of scene when Lily and Jamie are in their apartment and they're like, she's like, we're just going to stay here and it's going to ruin it all. But, you know, come to find out, there's no way she could have possibly stayed in that apartment for the rest. That's, you know, there was no, it was completely inevitable that she was going to leave because of situations that happened before that led to this, you know. Yeah. it's just like,
yeah,
it's a lot. It's, for me,
I mean, guys at home, everyone, we know it's a little complicated. If you guys follow the show, you probably have a feeling for it already, but it's so interesting because it's, I don't know, you can just like talk about it forever. So, but you mentioned something already, Ashley, and wanted to talk about that even more because, you know, the guy's back, you know, our homeless guy, Pete, comes back into frame and he's basically saving Lily's life, right? Kenton comes in out of the blue. Kenton, as we know, saw all of them before, sitting in his car, observing everything, right? And now thinking, hey, they are working together against mm-hmm. me, so I have to do something. So he comes to Lily's, Jamie's apartment, and oh my God, I felt so bad, so sorry about Jamie, this good
Dude,
guy.
Was this it, not the most intense scene of like the entire year?
It was, you know, the funny thing is, it was a very intense scene, but the music was so light.
The music, dude, the song, by the way, I was, okay, so when I was watching, I was like Shazamming it on my phone, and I got
it. Are you kidding?
I got the song, and then, but what was so genius about that choice was it got you so comfortable.
And, I know,
like,
right?
I felt the cooking, I felt the lemon in the water, I felt like I was sleeping in on a Sunday.
Dude. It almost felt comfortable seeing Jamie dying, sorry to say, but you know.
No, that put me into a shock.
I know.
My heart started racing. Like
you know what's so weird? It's like when Kenton was, when he was strangling Lily, I knew that someone was going to come and save her. I just knew it was going to happen. And I was like, who's going to come and save her? And I was like, it's going to be the homeless guy. Like,
oh, you knew?
I knew it. You know, like I knew it in my bone. So I don't know. It goes back to like, is the future real? I don't know. It's just a lot. But I knew he was going to come and save her. I did not know that he would be speaking in Russian.
Yeah, that's crazy. That was the I mean, for me personally, the craziest twist. I haven't expected that at all.
Oh, so
seriously.
Good.
Because the thing is, they made it so well because he was always talking American English, right? So you could never think that he could speak any Russian or as part of a spy organization or whatever. So coming to this whole scene, now it makes a little more sense why Pete was always sitting outside, obviously, right? As he's explaining, he was observing and he was even trying to save Sergei. So he came to basically protect him and just observe Sergei. And now he says something very important, which also takes us to episode 8, I guess. But he says, you know what? What I just did right now, saving your life, that was just a choice I made.
Right.
That wasn't something that was discussed before. That wasn't really my task to come here and do that. But I just felt you're so generous. You're like a good person. I had to do it. I mean, Ryan, when he said that, I felt like it's not just Lily in trouble. I think also Pete is in trouble.
Yeah, okay. That whole entire twist is amazing, first off. I wish I was on the app show before that because I had that thought that he was potentially Russian, but I did not for a second think that he had orders to just like keep an eye on her. I thought, oh, like now that, you know, Sergei's gone, like that option's out the window. That can't possibly, but no. So it wasn't protect her. It was watch her. So that was a really interesting detail, meaning there's that organization is still kind of involved in all this.
Right.
So I'm interested to see where that goes. But yeah, the scene where he just lays it down is like, you have two options. One, you can fly to Hong Kong and your life is over never the same. Like, you're in Hong Kong forever. You can never come back. Or you can go to the CIA and do years of interviews to try and sort this out, which will be a long, arduous process. And I was like, ugh! Of course she does the third option that was told her the day before. Yeah.
That was, honestly, guys, Ashley, thank you so much for mentioning that, Ryan. I wanted to talk about that anyway. Ashley, why do you think she did that now at the end? I mean, we remember that scene. She's in the bedroom. She sees the weapon on the floor, right mm-hmm. next to Jamie, who's mm-hmm. obviously, you know, unfortunately dead.
Yeah.
Why is she deciding to do that?
Lily is not a quitter. Like, if there's anything we've learned from this girl, she is a rider. Like, nothing is going to stop her. Nothing is going to scare her. She is going to finish it. She's going to figure out who killed her boyfriend. She's going to get them. Like, nothing will stop this woman.
She is awesome.
Yeah, she's the best. Like, nothing is going to get in the way of what she wants, and she's going to do whatever she can do to, you know, to get to where she needs to be. But she's no quitter.
But do you think she also does that because she still has hope that she can save herself and her own life, Brian? Do you think that's also one of the? Because why would you do that in this situation? Seriously, because your new friend, let's say new boyfriend now, is dead too. Sergey died already at the very beginning. And you just have yourself right now, and you just want to make sure that you survive and have your own life. So why do you decide to take the weapon, go back to the death department instead of flying out to Hong Kong or whatever? You know, just why would you do that?
I think, well, it's exactly this. It's because the two options he gave her, Hong Kong or CIA, which we've kind of been down the police road a little bit with this whole situation, and it just hasn't gone well. So her only option is to go to Devs, because she knows this was the flip of the switch where, like, she had this whole plan. I'm gonna ruin their plan. They think I end up there tomorrow. Like, no way. And after all this happened, she realizes, okay, yeah, I'm gonna go to Devs. So I understand that decision, because those two other options are not appealing whatsoever. She doesn't know what the outcome will be going to Devs, and it's almost like it's a whole twist on the show where everyone wants to know what's going to happen. She's going down the road where she has no idea what's going to happen. It's a lot. It's really interesting, and I feel like this is such a brilliant crescendo of a show where it has set the table beautifully for an incredible finale. Yeah. Like, not only was this episode incredible, but it was also a setup episode for something amazing.
Right.
I know.
Like, Ben,
do you have any
guess what's going to happen? I have no idea what's going to happen.
I do. I have a guess.
I mean, okay, Ashley, please, ladies first.
Oh my gosh. Thinking about it. So I think Lily is going to go in there. She'll be behind them. Like, Katie and Forrest won't be able to see her, and she'll shoot them both in the head. And that's why they couldn't see the future, because they died.
That was straight to the point.
Oh,
I appreciate that.
Okay. That's actually a really good prediction.
That's why. Wow. That's why they don't know what's going to happen next, because they both die. At least that's what I hope.
Oh.
that would mean, though, that Forrest and Katie already know now that they're going to die.
Well, not necessarily.
Right.
Not necessarily, because...
What do you mean? Because they know Lily is coming anyway.
They know Lily ends up there, but no, because remember all that they shared with her. So Katie told her that we know on this day, at this time, at this second, you go to Devs, and then the laws
of
science and nature change from what we saw.
That's right.
But we don't know as the audience whether that pertains for everyone or for just them.
Or just them.
So I think what Ashley was saying is, like, they can't see what's past that day because they don't exist past that day, maybe. I don't know.
They don't exist. Oh, I see.
If they die. If that's what happens.
Oh, okay.
What do you guys think?
But which would be an indication, though, that if they don't know what's going to happen after they die, that means to them already, okay, if we don't know what's going to happen after when she comes in, it means to us we're going to die anyway because we don't know what's going to happen. You know, that's just
– yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So
it's the question of, like, didn't she say at this day and this second there was just static? So we don't know what that means. Like, that's the question. It's like, what is the static? Like, what – does that pertain for everyone's future, just theirs? Because we know they can see everyone's past, but they really can only see their own future from what we've been shown. It's so complicated.
Guys, but I love it. I love it. I could talk forever, but I definitely don't know what's going to happen. I just have a feeling from my prediction perspective, I feel like Pete is not gone yet. I think Pete is coming back somehow. I think I can't really see that he's just walking out the room and he's just gone. So, which also brings me to our special segment that we definitely want to talk about for a couple of minutes. It is MVP. And of course, the MVP of today and this week is, of course, Pete, because he saved the show, right?
Pete.
Lily, therefore, saved the show. And I just wanted to point that out. What's so funny about this guy is because they always showed him in a very, like, almost comedic way, right? Remember that scene when he's outside in the park and he's just dancing and doing his kind of moves and stuff like that? And then out of a sudden, he saves her life. So, Ashley, how do you feel about the character Pete overall?
Oh, my gosh. I love Pete. And I've loved Pete from the beginning. But I really fell in love with Pete when he ran into Kenton. And he was like, I'm not scared of you. And Kenton's like, yeah. And I don't understand why not. So then I was like, oh, he's like, there's something really special about this guy. So I was just so thankful he was there in the nick of time.
Totally. And Ryan, what I wanted to ask you, was it kind of a surprise for you that the whole show and the creator, Alex Garland, waited so long to really let Pete do something really, like, significant?
I mean, it's like I'm playing Monday morning quarterback. Like, I can pretend like I knew. I didn't know all of it, but I definitely knew he played a bigger part in the story because of the screen time. You don't give someone that much screen time. I actually thought for a while, you know, we live in California, there's a homeless issue here. I thought they were making some kind of commentary on like, hey, you know, there's so many shows that take place in LA and San Francisco and they don't show any homeless people in them. I thought they were making a commentary on that, which I think they successfully pulled off while simultaneously providing one of the biggest TV twists I've ever seen.
Right. That's a very interesting point. I've never thought about that. You kind of having kind of a combination with LA. Yeah, that's a very good point. So, yeah, for me personally, I just like the way how they built his character arc, because coming as this homeless guy asking for money, right? You basically at the beginning, you thought he's just a guy living on the street asking for money, right? And of course, he knows Lily because he's doing that for years, sitting in front of the same building. So that was not really something I really paid a lot of attention to. I just liked his character because he was so much straight to the point. And he just asked for stuff just because he needed to, in a way. That's what he makes us think.
And he says, you're brave. Like, he...
Yeah.
He like confirmed, we've heard so many people say like, oh, she's so resilient. She's smarter than she looks. Yeah. Like he literally articulated like, I've noticed, I see you every day. Like you are brave. And like, I had to save you because of that. God.
You know, the interesting thing about Pete for me is he was basically an actor as an actor. You know, he basically played the role as a homeless guy on that show to just basically hide his real identity, obviously. So that was beautiful. I think he did a very good job with that, you know, because he definitely made me think he's just this kind of... Obviously didn't see that twist coming myself. So, before we come to an end, guys, Ashley, you said it a little bit already, so I want to talk to Ryan for a minute. What do you really think episode 8 is going to be about?
Oh, my gosh. It's been a minute since I've been this excited for a finale of something. I think the reason I'm so excited is because I have little to no idea what's going to happen. And, you know, I feel differently about a lot of series finales. Sometimes I get really excited for something because I know blank is going to happen. Like, I'm a big Star Wars fan. I'm watching this Rebels show, or this Clone Wars show, and I know something that's involved in the finale, and I'm excited about it. This, I'm almost more excited for because I have little to no idea what to expect. And that's what's been so incredible about this show, is it's really been this full-on culmination of, it ended at the perfect beat. Like, she's about to walk in, and that is what everything's been building up for. We've seen all these other characters in this facility, and now she's going in, and something legendary is going to happen.
Right.
So my prediction is, I think, I love your shooting prediction. I think my prediction is she is going to... She's going to end the world. I think that's my prediction. Whoa. I don't know how. I have no idea how.
Wow, that's deep shit. That's deep sheep.
That's deep sheep.
But Ashley, I've had a deep sheep. Exactly. I had a feeling you wanted to say something. I
nope.
Saw you breathing in. Oh, really? Okay.
No, I wanted to share something. You guys know what I think is going to happen next week. So
oh, that's right. You said it already. And honestly, guys, I'm coming back to the same thing that I'm already saying for six, and now for the seventh time. I say it again. I still believe that Sergei is alive, and I still believe that this guy is coming back next episode.
Dude,
and is saving Lily.
If you're right about this,
doing that.
I will eat
what
like
you
hot
probably
sauce
think. Ryan, Ryan, your mic is off.
Oh, is it?
Thank you so much, Ryan. But before
Ryan Nilsson on Twitter, at Ryan Nilsson on Instagram. On Star Wars News every Thursday at 4 p.m. Auf Wiedersehen. Is that German for goodbye? I don't know.
Oh, wow. That's sehr gut. That's sehr, sehr gut. Sehr gut.
And where can they find you, Ben?
But anyway, guys. Yeah, you can also find me on Instagram, Twitter, and Facebook. It's at Benjamin Schnau, S-C-H-N-A-U. And guys, by the way, at home, please tell us your predictions for the last episode next week. We definitely want to know, because anything is possible, right? So let us know. Stay safe and healthy, guys, at home. I know we're still at home. We're making it work. We'll see you next week, same time, same location. Check it out.
Bye, guys.
Our founder, Kevin Undergaro, and me, Maria Menounos, would like to thank you for tuning in to AfterBuzz TV. Remember, we're not just the first, we're the biggest in the world, and we're the only destination for all your favorite TV shows. Whatever you crave, we've got it. So go to AfterBuzzTV.com and check out our lineup. Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.